Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, good morning, y'all. How you doing? You can remain seated for a moment because I'm giving another commercial break. I think this is the third week we've done this, and you guys have done so well with this that it's made more work for me. This is kind of an outline. Actually, it's a continuance of what we're going to preach about today. It's a guide to the believer's prayer of contentment, because I'm going to talk about the prayer of contentment. And so you take these home. There are six of them on there. You can spend 10 minutes on it. You can spend 5 minutes on it. You can spend an hour and a half on it, depending on what the Lord says to you. But I think it's something that we can apply what we've learned. Is that a good application, you know, to start applying what you've learned? So you don't forget it. So that's a pretty good thing to do. So take that home with you. But I want to call your attention to the very last thing, the very last statement on the bottom. It says, find true contentment in desiring to be a blessing to others. God does not bless us to raise our standard of living. He blesses us to raise our standard of giving. How about that? Amen. Come on, stand with me. We're going to read the Word of God today. We're going to Romans chapter, I believe it was Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 37. And you'll find the responding verses that I'm going to be reading out of the Word of God that will help us to stay in context of what we're going to talk about, the prayer of contentment. And verse 26 of chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be understood, which cannot be uttered. And we know that all things, everybody say all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also freely give us all things? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he also who has given, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Let's pray. Ah, yeah, that's a good one. Go ahead and applaud that. Lord, today we're going to be on a discovery mission because, Lord, there are some things that we need to resolve as it relates to contentment. And Lord, we're going to learn some things about the prayer of those who are contented because, Lord, there's something you want to do in us that will stop the restlessness, will stop all the things of the anxiety that the enemy throws at us, the world throws at us, the situations throw at us. And I pray today, God, that we would learn some things that how we can allow your Spirit of God to be upon us and bring us to a place of peace, of rest, of assurance, of knowing that you work all things to good for those who love and are called according to your purposes. Lord, it's not a mantra that we repeat. It's a fact. It's a truth. And so, Lord, help us to live in that reality as we pray, as we believe that great things will happen. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
Amen.
I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this. I may have been discontented, but now I'm going to move to be contented. You may be seated. Come on. You know, in studying for this particular part of prayer, we have another installment yet to go with, probably two more. But the idea of being content, it's one of those things that I need to give some definition to, because the very the title of this message may prove to be a bit confusing if a person were to focus on the word contentment and arrive at the conclusion that it means apathetic acquiescence to circumstances that we deem to be out of our control or sphere of influence to affect the outcome of a situation. That's a big sentence, isn't it? But it's basically, you say, oh, contentment, okay, that's me, I just kind of give up and just kind of go with the flow. Not necessarily. To put it more simply, I can't change it, so I have no other choice but to deal with it the best way I can. And that's how we kind of rule on contentment. But that's not God's definition. When we pray for contentment through the power of the Spirit, I believe we're asking for Jesus for an attitude to be content in whatever it is with whatever it is. Which means, as believers, we will discover that our prayers will be rooted in hope and expectation that they may not remove the suffering, but will empower us to endure suffering without losing our hope and perseverance to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Now, let me just define that for you. It's not the fact that, que sera, sera, what will be, you know. That's not what I'm saying. But there's something that has happened to us that because of the things that are happening in the world or in our family or in situations we can't control of, the thing that will move in and will camp in our minds is discontent. I want to reveal to you some of the things that you're not alone. I've lived on that street before and I moved. Never to return again. And I really mean that. But I want to take you to word and ask you a few questions like I normally do. Number one, have you discovered the divine connection between godliness and contentment in the prayer life of a believer? Godliness and contentment? They work together? In the prayer life of a believer, I think oftentimes we come before God, we complain. We tell God all the things aren't the way we like them, and he's better change them if we're going to keep following him. Well, even more so, in the second question would be this. Have you allowed your prayers to embrace contentment in the midst of storms and chaos of a world seemingly spinning out of control? Or what about this? Have you made a choice to live your life pleasing to Jesus, even if it will invoke opposition and persecution from the world? Wow. That's a big one we're going to contend with today. Let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. The prayer of contentment is not complacency. We'll read this. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. On to verse 9, please. In 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How many believe that?
Amen.
I'm going to show you why you don't. What? I was baited. No. I want to tell you that sometimes one of the things that we will find in Scripture that we sometimes will find a better, not better definition, but a better understanding of what is actually being said. Because oftentimes we will take this scripture and we'll contrast it with another one, saying, well, how can this be, that we have this problem, this stress that's going on in our life, that we have these things that are going on, and how do we find contentment in the midst of things that are just going sideways? I want to tell you what Paul was not asking. Paul was not asking for God to heal him from a physical affliction to which he had said no. I want to get that cleared up. Because I've heard theologians, very wonderful preachers and powerful, profound people say that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He had bad feet. He had bunions on his feet. That's God to remove him. God said, oh no, get a different pair of Nikes, Or he had he had this other thing going on in his life, He had bad eyesight. I can prove to you that's not true either. But the thing about it was, the issue that we get stuck on is the fact that he has this thorn in the flesh, and God, it appears that God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And some of you have applied God's grace to be sufficient in areas that it doesn't really belong to. Really? That things that you can be content with, and I'll define that for you a little bit more in a moment. But Paul was under attack by a messenger from Satan, a demonic presence, to try to vilify him. That's one thing I can tell you for sure. Number two is the enemy attacked him to try to prevent him from sharing the message of Jesus and strengthen the church. That would be a good thing for him to do. The attack of the enemy was crafty and directed toward the Spirit of God in Paul's life. I want to let you know all of you are under that attack, every single one of you. So you can agree with Paul, oh my goodness. Yeah, the enemy's going to attack you everywhere. He'll attack your family. He'll attack you at work. He'll attack anything you believe in, this type of thing, to try to get you to renege on your relationship with God. And I want to tell you right now how to pray. In the name of Jesus, you need to rebuke the power of the enemy, which you have authority over. It's not going to go down like that. So what does it mean? It means that infirmity, now I need to get to this word infirmity, so you understand what it means. Infirmity does not always mean sickness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 17, verses 27 through 30. Chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. In weariness, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and darkness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Go on to the next verse. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Infirmity does not necessarily mean that you're maimed physically. It can be emotionally. Oh, my goodness. He talks about some things here. Weariness. Anybody ever been weary? Wave your hand at me. Sleeplessness. Stayed up all night. Oh, Lord, I was praying all night long. You were not praying all night long. You were worrying all night long. Don't be lying to me. I was just intercessing with the Lord. You were just a mess. Come on, let's get with the program, y'all. Or what about this idea? You're under this idea, or in thirst, or in fastings. All qualify as infirmities. Persecution is to be expected by those who believe in Jesus. Hello there. That's part of the program. That's what you signed up for. I didn't sign up for no persecution. I want them good days. I pray that Jesus will give me a good day every day. And you know what? Sometimes it doesn't work. Read the scripture that says, they that live godly will suffer good days all the time. What Bible are you reading? The Bible says they will suffer persecution. If you want to know whether you're saved or not, I'm not talking about when you've been stupid and you got some results. I'm talking about when you're suffering real persecution. But you know what? God stands with you in the midst of this. You pray that God will give you the ability to withstand all the things that are coming against you. Well, it goes a little more than that. Paul's preaching. Often, he confronted the forces of darkness. And that's a tough thing that happens. Paul asked for persecution to be removed from his life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. This is the type where he goes in there and says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. He had asked for it. And he came to a conclusion. If you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. I won't ask you for the vote of those people who've had friends leave you because you know Jesus. There's some folks sitting here that lost relationships. There are some of you sitting here in this room that have lost a relationship with your family because you follow Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. They said, when you get your mind back, you can come join us again. I say, I got the mind of Christ and I don't need yours. Thank you very much. Paul discovered that all godly believers will suffer persecution. Glorifying God finds contentment in persecution as of the will of God. And Paul requests to have this removed from his life three times, was met with denial, but he gave him these words. I want to spray this over every person in this room. God's grace is sufficient for you. What you thought you couldn't survive, God said, I'll take you through it. Keep your eyes upon me. Well, I want you to do something practical today as a part of the message. I'm going to give you 30 seconds of my message. I want you to do this. I want you to stop for 30 seconds and pray over the number one thing in your life right now that would cause you to be discontent. Now, before you start your 30 seconds, I'm going to get real with you. Some of you are discontent with your job. You're discontent with your finances. Dare I say this one? I'm going to say it anyway. You're discontent in your marriage. You're discontent in things that you seemingly have no control of. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I want you to say before God, God, I am ready to lay that down and willing to suffer whatever it takes because discontent has no part in my life. I'm giving you 30 seconds. Get ready. On your mark, get set, go. 30 seconds. Get rid of it. Okay, let me tell you this. You don't have to squall. You don't have to grieve. You don't have to moan. You have to make up your mind. I am not going to allow discontent to rule my life. Amen. You have to tell the devil, Oh, no. I'm not going to let my life be destroyed by this thing that weaves its way in my life, and that becomes the focus of whatever you do or say. Well, what does that mean even further? Paul found out that even when the enemy bombarded him with persecution, the Lord would be faithful to him. And this part, I love this scripture because it will help you that are going through some really rough times to know that God can take you through it. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Listen to this. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Stop right there. Persecution? Maybe? Stoned him, but I like the part, supposing him to be dead. Some of you are sitting in this auditorium and you say, I'm just dead. There's no life left in me. My life is over with this type of thing. You have died too soon. You've allowed your emotions to put you on the deathbed of no longer believing that God can do great things. Now watch what happens. Look at this. However, somebody say, however. When the disciples gathered around him. You know what we need to do when people are going through a tough time? We need to gather around folks. Amen. We need to come around them. Amen. When the devil's trying to knock you down and take you out, we need to come around folks and begin to intercede. Now watch what happens. Somebody get excited about this. He rose up and went into the city. And watch this. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Somebody they thought was dead. You know, the devil, when you walked in here, the devil thought you were at least on life support. But I got news for you. The Holy Spirit is here. We gather around you. We're going to cast out the power of the devil, and things are going to be different. So I thought, Pastor, I thought you were going to be passive and talk about contentment. I am. But I got to get over all this crazy stuff you got in your mind so I can get you to be content. I don't want you to be content of being knocked down and being dead. Say, let's just arrange my funeral. I ain't going down without a fight. So, in 24 hours, the Lord raised him up, and he went to the next city and kept on preaching. Come on, keep on preaching. Come on, keep on testifying. Keep on witnessing. Don't let the devil put you down. Be content. Oh, it's sometimes you're going to go through some hurtful stuff. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. But you know what? God can raise you up again. Amen. You that feel like you're down for the count, it's time to get up, shake it off, and start moving on. Well, Paul did not appear to have trouble with his eyesight. Those of you still stuck on the eyesight thing, oh, he just, you know, Paul couldn't see. Okay, here we go. I'll add a fix this for you folks so you'll believe me. See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand? That's what they base it on.
Paul's writing in big letters because, you know, couldn't see very well.
Large has several definitions. Large can be large, or large can be long. See what long letters I have written to you. Fits the bill of being large letters. Large, long. Hello? Are you good with that? Paul had the gift of continuation. The gift of expression. But I want to let you know, I just want to help you with that Paul went to great length to share his heart in his writings with believers. His reference to large, no doubt, was referencing to the length of his letters, and Paul was committed to the believers to find contentment, knowing that God was working all things for their good. Sometimes it won't just take a little conversation. Sometimes you have to talk with folks and get them to the place where they can believe what you're saying. Well, the prayer of those that are of the content believers, Romans 8:28, we loved working this out. Let's look at this piece again. I love this. And we know that all things work together to good to those who what?
Love God.
Say that a little bit louder. Now, if things keep going bad in your life, you need to check out who you're in love with. What? Can I get an understanding of that? If you are on the throne of your heart, God can't work on you in your behalf. What does it mean? To those who are called according to his purpose. Some of you need to shake off your agenda and get a hold of his purpose. Which means contentment is not compromising or obsessing over things in our life that we want to be different. Ever gone on strike with God? Say yes. You stop praying, you stop fasting, you stop believing, you stop reading your Bible because you were discontent, you're on strike. But until God changes things in my life, I don't even want to talk to him. I was offended. I prayed to him. He doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't even care. I got some for you. Here we go. God does not have to rearrange his plan to fit every problem that you face.
Amen.
We want God to change everything about the situation and fix all these things so it will go the way that we think it should go. Who made you king or queen? I admit it, I have OCD. I do. I like certain things in order and this type of thing. But I found out it doesn't rule my life. I may want it this way, but if it doesn't turn out that way, I am not going to fall on the floor, scream and kick and vibrate and manifest. But some of you do. I don't. And you're kicking and screaming. Hello? Come on. The things that we think should be different must be allowed to run the course that has not been totally revealed to us yet. Very simple illustration is I had discovered, I was going around doing some errands. I discovered I had lost or misplaced. Let's put it this way. It wasn't lost, I was. It was where I left it. Want to help you folks. He says, hey, Slyle, I lost my wallet. No, you put your wallet down and you don't remember where you put it. Come on, let's put it where it is. Stop blaming other things. So I put my driver's license in a place that I didn't remember. Then all of a sudden, a revelation came. No, I got my mind back. It was where I had left it. But I left it at a place and long story short, that I couldn't remember. It was one of those things that has number, it has the GVW, whatever, the Hama place. And it didn't have a real name situation. I didn't remember. I said, how am I going to find it? Well, I said, trust me, I can help you find it. I said, so here I am. I'm at the club working out and this type of thing. I said, you know, I left my wallet at this particular place. And I kind of described to this fellow. He said, oh, yeah, I was at that place yesterday. I got the phone number right here in my wallet. Let me give you the phone number. Called him up, got my license back. You know, God can figure it out, not in your way, but he's got a plan if you'll trust him to work it out. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I am not as spiritual as you think. There'll be times I'd be fussing and carrying and on and doing all sorts of stuff. I'd be all, I can't believe this thing happened. I'd ruin my whole day. And God, when I discovered that, God said, let me handle this. And you know what? I like his way better than mine. Let me help you today. You ought to be content with the circumstance. If you didn't do it on purpose, give yourself a break. Come on. Well, I may help you. Our prayers leave things in the hands of the Lord with trust and faith that he brings things around, watch this, at the right time. At the right time. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. It didn't come one moment sooner than God says it will be the best time. Now watch this. We must believe that the truth that God wants what is best for us all the time. Anybody believe that? Amen. You said amen, but I know you don't believe that sometimes. Let's see how this works. God wants us to ask without fear of hearing no, wait, or trust in the process. Because there's some things you do not want to ask God for because you're afraid of hearing the word no. No is a complete sentence. It doesn't need anything before it or after it. No is no. You know, I don't do the dance of, can you help me do this? Can you help me move tomorrow? No. This is one time I'll use the old car. I am 73 years old and I ain't got no business moving boxes, going up and down stairs. Oh, I'll use that. Well, yes, I will. I said, you know how long it takes me to recover? I'm doing pretty good right now. So the answer is no, and God bless you. It's okay to have a no. It's not the end of the world where no, because where one door is shut, God can open another one. Whew. That energized somebody. Probably me. Here's another part of this. We need to be content with a word called wait. If you don't have kids, you know nothing about wait. Kids don't do wait. I want to know. He's already got one. You don't even care about it. I want to know. They're manifesting. That demon needs to come out. And you know, I found out the way to get that demon out of wait out of them, let them wait a little longer. Wait, we'll work it out for you. Well, what about this last little piece of it in the prayer of contentment? Is trust the process. Trust it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path or he will keep your path straight. That's the word of God. Well, yeah. Hope. We should never hide behind what God. Hide from God what we really want. Ever try to hide from God what you really want? Think you can kind of ease one in on him? I just want God to do such and such. But you got this agenda in your mind that you don't think he knows your real thoughts? Stupid. Oh my God. Hope is believing that God wants what we want. That's a beautiful thing. The prayer of contentment is being honest with God of how we really feel. And oftentimes, I'd kind of deride feelings, but let me just take a little vacation from that and look at Romans 8:34 and see what it has to say. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Here's the part you need to know, who also makes intercession for us. Don't forget the first part of this scripture says, who is he who condemns? And many of us live under the cloud of condemnation the majority of our time. Our prayers of contentment must confront the one who breeds discontent through our condemnation. Now, if I were to pan the crowd today, you say, well, I'm really not a discontent person. Well, I'm not here to argue with you. But then your life would be filled with a lot more joy, a lot more grace, a lot more peace if you weren't living in discontent. And here's what needs to happen. We must believe that Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the throne of God, and the one who brings tribulation, distress, and persecution will try to derail our prayers through discontent. See this over there? You pray God about this and see what happened. See this over there? And then all of a sudden we start finally saying, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe he's not for me. Maybe I made a wrong choice. We're just about there, but consider these last few things. Discontent is self-discovery of the things that you think you must have in order to be happy. Ooh, here we go. Get down that road. I'll be happy when I get a raise on my job. I'll be happy when I get a new car. I'll be happy when I get some new clothes or a new house or a new husband. A new husband. I left that one alone. I'll really be happy then. Because the one I have is really, I got a real clinker. But my next one's going to be a whole lot better. Let me tell you what, your picker's broke. Okay? I'll leave that alone because that's getting a whole different message. Romans 8, 38, 39. Here we go. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Nothing's going to separate me. That is a prayer of contentment. None of this stuff is going to keep me going down the wrong road. How do you do that? I'm going to help you. I've got a few more moments to kind of convince you of this. Well, We must embrace the conviction that our prayers of contentment are founded upon sound principles of faith in the Word of God. If you want to be content, learn what the Word of God says about your situation. Really? Don't go off on your own. The love of God in Christ Jesus will sustain us and guard our hearts from discontent. Now, here's another one. I won't take any more time out of my sermon, but I will tell you this much. How many of you here today who say, I'm just totally happy. Don't raise your hand. I'm really happy. Everything's just fine. Some of you would say you're happy and really not be. Others of you want to be happy and know you can't be. But happiness, let me tell you, is based on happenings. Jesus didn't guarantee you happiness. He guaranteed you joy. Let me tell you how joy works. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, you last. That's what joy is all about. Well, that went for the juggler, didn't it? When Jesus is number one, when you put others in front of the things that you want, you're willing to give them away, and then yourself is like, I'll tell you, you'll have joy all the time. Because God can work that in your life. He didn't promise you happiness. Happiness based on everything going the way you want it to go. And all it takes is one thing to go sour, and you're like, I don't know why God doesn't love me. I don't know why I have to serve it like, oh, Jesus, help me, oh, God, help me. Whiner. Love of God will empower and fortify our faith by reminding us of this one thing that will take you through this and bring you to commitment. The faithfulness of God. In the things or the times you thought he was going to come through, he came through anyway. When you thought you were going down for the last count, and then somehow out of nowhere, God lifted you up. Anybody can witness that, wave your hand at me. When you thought it was over, and God says, no, it's not over. When God is in it, he can make something brand new out of something that's totally destroyed. But here's how it works, and how it works faster. Be content where you are now. Don't wish to be over there. Be content where you are this moment. So God, if you don't do another thing, I'm content. I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to honor you. I want to bless you. Well, the prayer of contentment is my last little place. We're going to stop. We'll remove all anxiety. Everybody say all?
All.
Anxiety. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and thanksgiving. Make your requests known to the Lord. You get to ask God. You get to pray for things. But you got to get your mind straight first. Get the anxiety out of the way. Some of you cannot get your prayers answered because you're like, oh, God, oh, God. You're hysterical. Chill. He knows the situation. He's totally in charge of what's going on. Prayers of contentment find their foundation in worship. What? I thought you were going to give me something else. In worship. Let me show you how that works. Rejoicing in the Lord always occurs when we allow our soul to worship regardless of what is going on in our life, contrary to the way we want it to be. Lord, I'll worship you soon as I get, you know, soon as I get all these things taken care of. Soon as my life gets back the way I want it to be, I'll start worshiping you then. Right now, I'm mad. Okay. You must change your focus before you will see your situation come into alignment with the things of God. What about this? Anxiety is the enemy of prayers of contentment. You will never be able to pray to God discontent. Oh my goodness. The peace of the Lord will guard your hearts, the hearts of those who will pray with thanksgiving for what has already been done. Here's how prayers really can get answered. And Lord, you're the same God who delivered me from this and from that and from that other thing. And that's the reason why I'm coming to you. You're the only person who can help me. But some of you in the back of my mind, if God doesn't help me, I'm going to payday loan. Oh, yes, you do. If God doesn't help me, I'm going to go to match.com. I'm going to find me somebody. Oh, come on. I'm getting where you are living right now. I'm going to give him a month. If the month goes out, Match.com, here I come. They got a Christian section. Oh, Jesus, help me preach this thing today. Jesus, Lord, will guard your hearts in thanksgiving. Our hearts and minds will be shielded from discontent and comparison of what we have in contrast with what others have. Oh, let me help you with that. This is the devil's trap. You will never be content when you compare what you have with what he has. I'm going to say it again. These people over here, they don't believe that. You will never be content if you're still comparing what he has with what you have. Some of y'all need to repent of that. I'll give you, there'll be a chance later on for you to do that, so don't worry about it. I got you covered, okay? Our hearts and minds need to be shielded from discontent with comparison. This last little place. Our minds and hearts will find contentment for where we are rather than where we want to be. When I get my house over there, I'm really going to be happy. Your happiness is over there. You may never get over there, so you're going to be miserable till you get there? we bring misery into our household and we put it over there and you may never get there. You need to be happy today. You need to be content today. You need to be thankful today. You need to be rejoicing today. Don't defray your happiness for some other day. This is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Don't wait for tomorrow to rejoice. Rejoice today. Well, if you desire to pray right, we're going to love this. You must think right. Today, I'm going to tell you how to think. Because some of you don't know. It's in the Word of God in case you forget. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any thing praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what? You can't pray with contentment while breeding discontent. Change the way you think. Change the way you believe. I changed the way that I talk about things a lot recently. It's actually just within the last 5 or 6 years. I used to use a phrase a lot, I think. But I've changed it over to a word that really puts me on the hot seat, or really to match up my thoughts of what, if it's in alignment with God's. Rather than saying, I think, I use a word, it's a very strong word, I believe. Today you're going to discover what you believe. We must continue to pray for things that are not the normal way we think and respond toward life. Everything praiseworthy should be the focus of our prayers. And the last place we're going to visit to as the choir makes their way up here. We should aspire to be an example of contentment. Philippians 4:9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Everybody wants an example. Nobody wants to be one. Oh, Pastor, I don't know how you do it, or Pastor Chuck, or whatever the difference, I don't know how you do it. Will you stop putting the focus on that? Everything that we have, you can have because it's founded in Jesus. If it's anything praiseworthy, it's because of Jesus. Because left to our flesh, we have nothing to offer you. Our lives should teach others about faith in Jesus. And my faith in Jesus is just escalating at this point. I want to just share everything that I know about Jesus and point you toward him. What about this? Contentment in our spirit should be manifest in our prayer life. Because you folks do not pray, you have complaining. Like, oh God, you know how pitiful my house is? It all broke down. You know how I'm being persecuted on my job? Nobody likes me there. Get me out of there, Jesus. Oh, you want to be homeless? Okay. You don't look at some of the options that could, you know, you get you out of there and you, oh God, I haven't got no job. You had one. Help me, Jesus. Salvation is coming to your house today. Other followers of Jesus should be able to follow our example. These last three statements I'm going to make, and then I'm going to invite you to do something. Number one statement is contentment in prayer is not compromise. Some of you say, well, just be content means that that's to forget about all the things I really want and just kind of just go with the status quo and that's where I'll find contentment. No. It's not to allow the things that you don't have to keep you be appreciative for what you do have. Oh, number two, contentment in prayer is comfort in knowing who's in control. How many of you believe God's in control? Lift your hand. You got to testify. Put your hands down. If you believe God's in control, then somehow the way that you pray needs to change. He's not going to relinquish his control to yours. And here's the last one. Contentment in prayer is knowing that Jesus is with me every step of the way. As we prepare to do something here, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And this is going to be a healing time for many of us. Jesus can't really find access to your heart when you're still upset, when you're still disconnected with something you've wanted and you just don't have or you feel like you can't have. If you really believe how much God loves you, I believe that something wonderful is going to happen to you today. I'm going to pray a prayer of contentment. And if you can agree with that, you can say amen at the end, but there's something else that's going to happen. There are people here that have suffered setbacks. And the setback has been because things didn't turn out the way they thought they should, or they thought they were stronger than they really were. And they found themselves wandering back into areas of their life that they thought they had victory over. And now they live on the street of discouragement, of doubt, and unbelief that God can ever keep them away from that which has captivated them. Some of you sit here today as victims of the fact that you can't forgive yourself for what you said, for what you did. And if you can't forgive yourself, you don't think God can either. Lord, this prayer I pray right now is on behalf of all of us, myself included, that Lord, there's things I've said, there's things I've done that I don't deserve forgiveness for. But you went to the cross and you were nailed to the cross and you suffered all the embarrassment, the shame, the chastisement of pieces upon you. But Lord, through those stripes, I'm healed. I can have access to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus for every person that is living outside of your grace, outside of your mercy, that needs help today. For the person that hasn't surrendered their life over to you, that Lord, that they would take this opportunity today to pray a prayer of contentment in the fact that you've done enough for them to trust you for the rest of their lives. Holy Spirit, do a work right now. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, there are people here today, if that's you, and you need to come to this altar today, you say, well, I already know Jesus, this other type of thing, but you know, you've been beaten down, you've had all these things going in your life, and you say, you know what, I need to have contentment, I need to have all this anxiety removed in my spirit, I need to be healed today to walk with Jesus the way I really want to, and for those who've never made this commitment to walk with Jesus, today is the day I'm going to turn it over to him. If that either one of those categories apply to you. Why don't you lift your hand right now? Just lift up, say, you know, I need that today. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else that says, yep, I'm going to do that today. God bless you over there as well.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.